In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
It's the great feast day today, Pentecost, the day in which the Church remembers the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the disciples, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. On this great feast day, the thing that we learn above all other things is, and it's really just reinforced because we know this throughout all of our scripture, throughout all of our doctrine, we can do nothing without God. God is everything to us. And this comes out in the feast day today, in Pentecost. It's kind of a completion of what we know about God. We understand, too, this day is called also Trinity Day, Holy Trinity Day, because we understand the completion of God's revelation as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. Going all the way back to the beginning, God created us. He created everything out of nothing. That's in our creed, the first thing we proclaim. I believe in one God. Not many gods, not the gods of nature, the gods of time, the various gods with their responsibilities and duties of the ancient world, but one God. We believe in one God. And we call Him the Father, as Jesus teaches us to do in the Lord's Prayer. And we profess Him to be the creator of everything that we see and that we don't see. So we even confess in the creed that there are things that we don't even see that God is responsible for. Maker of all things, visible and invisible. This is a miracle, brothers and sisters in Christ. Out of all God's creation, and that's everything, He chose us, human beings, to be made in His image. And it doesn't stop there. This idea of being in the image of God is fulfilled when God Himself enters into our humanity and becomes one of us, born of a woman, and lives in the world, and dwells among us, and shows us who He is, suffers, dies, and is raised up on the third day, Jesus Christ our Lord. Another wonder. We couldn't have written this or scripted this. This is God doing it all. And we know that Jesus Christ and His incarnation and His death is the only thing that makes us alive to God. It's the only way we know God in the world today. Nobody comes to the Father except through the Son, Jesus says in the Gospel. But when Jesus was raised up, He visited with His disciples and apostles. He spent time with them. He gave them instruction, told them what would happen. Even before His passion, as we heard in the Gospel last Sunday, Jesus tells them, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send another to be with you, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and He will guide you into all truth after I'm gone. Jesus wanted to make sure that His followers were not left orphaned. And so God Himself descends upon the people. Now God is dwelling in us with the Holy Spirit and the descent of the Spirit on the apostles and disciples. Another wonder. First God is among us, and now He dwells within us. This is something new at Pentecost. This is something new because in former times, if you read through the Old Testament, and we heard at Vespers last night from Numbers, when Moses was commanded by God to bring 70 men of good character before Him, and God wanted to pour out some of His Spirit on them so that they would be able to discern and to exercise good leadership so it wouldn't all be on Moses' back. God shared His Spirit. This kind of thing was reserved for kings and for judges and prophets and sages. Now the new thing about Pentecost is God's Spirit is poured out on all flesh as it was foretold. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. It's poured out on the gathering of the people of God and the church. This is why we sometimes say Pentecost is the birthday of the church. You know, because now God is dwelling within us, and He is here in our worship today, in spirit and in truth. So what we see in this icon today, and I pulled it down because we see the icon of Pentecost, we see the disciples and apostles gathered together, receiving from God the gift of the Holy Spirit in tongues of fire. And these were, you know, ordinary men. They weren't particularly learned in any kind of philosophy or theology. They were fishermen, and the tradition of the church likes to make an example of that. They were fishermen. They had a trade, and they were good at it. Jesus told them, "I will make you fishers of men. You will go out and you will bring people into my fold." That's exactly what they did. Not very learned in tongues. They weren't multilingual except on the day of Pentecost. They were given the power to take the gospel out into the world. And we read in that passage from Acts how the gospel was preached in many languages and people understood it in their own tongues. Not that these men were suddenly eloquent and learned in many languages, but God was speaking through them. The Holy Spirit wanted them to teach people the gospel and to bring it to them. So the thing that holds these men together and holds us together today as the church is God in the form of His Spirit poured out upon all of us. I want us to go home later and read in Acts, just beyond what we heard today in the second chapter, because Peter gives the most convincing, most persuasive, most inspired preaching of the gospel on the day of Pentecost. It was so beautiful, they thought he was drunk. They thought he was drinking at 10 in the morning. And he had to tell them, "No, don't you know this is what the prophets prophesied, that God's Spirit would be poured out?" And he tells them everything from the beginning. This is God, this is Jesus Christ, this is who we are, and this is what we need to do. Peter, the one who denied Jesus, the one who cowered and fled the scene at the cross, the one who couldn't understand that the Son of Man must be killed. This is Peter, God doing it through him. And Paul talks about this in his epistles too. He tells his churches he doesn't come to them with fancy speech and eloquence, because if he did, then the word of God would be robbed of its power. You know, he comes in simple words and plainly, so the power of God would be manifest in him. There's nothing particularly eloquent about Paul or what he has to say. He's not a poet. He's not silver-tongued, as we say some of the, or golden-tongued, as we say some of the church fathers are. Paul was simple and talked in plain language, and God spoke through him. He became a vessel for that. So it's all God, brothers and sisters in Christ, working through us, filling us with His Spirit, and enabling us to do and to fulfill the task that He's given to us, which is to live and witness for Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what that means for us, we could think about our own station in life, whatever we are. If we're a stay-at-home mom, if we're a teacher, if we're an engineer, no matter what we do, we can fulfill our calling to do it in the Holy Spirit and in the image of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about how we communicate with people. You know, the manner in which we speak to them, the face of Christ that we show them, or maybe we don't show them. How kind are we to strangers? If people know that we are a Christian, that we follow Jesus Christ, are they able to determine that by our behavior, by our attitude, by our words? Are our words kind and loving, or do they build up or do they tear down? God forbid they tear down. So we are enabled to fulfill the calling that God has called us to. Remember, without God, we can do nothing. And that's in there. It's in the Bible. It's in the gospel message. We can't call God Father without the Holy Spirit. We don't even know how to pray unless the Holy Spirit guides us. That's one of the prayers that the priest reads silently, one of the Matins prayers. And then that's why we call upon the Holy Spirit at the beginning of Divine Liturgy. O Heavenly King, O Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, come and dwell in us and save our souls. We don't know how to do it, and we cannot do it without God and without His help. St. Paul says that nobody can confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord without the Holy Spirit guiding him. So God is everywhere in our lives, brothers and sisters in Christ. He's not just speaking through prophets. He's not only speaking in the book, although he's revealed himself to us in that book. He's with us today in our worship. He's with us in our everyday lives, and he's with us in the sacraments that unite us one to another and to him in Jesus Christ. If we accept it, if we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the one thing that's lacking out of all of God's, not that it's lacking on the part of God, but in the whole story. It's our receiving of what God is giving us. You know, that's the one thing that may be lacking. Everything is complete and nothing is lacking in God. He creates us. He joins us. He redeems us. And he calls us to a life in him through the Word and through the Spirit. What are we going to do about it? God's work is done. Ours now is to receive the gift that has been offered. That's why in baptism, when we chrismate, pour the chrism on the newly illumined, we seal him with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. God is giving it to us. A gift won't do anything if you don't receive it, though. It'll just sit somewhere. So remember that our life in Jesus Christ, our relationship with God, our life in the church is a gift. God is doing it. We should respond in kind and allow him to come into our lives and be with us and allow us to fulfill in us the person he wants us to be. So a blessed feast day to all of you. This is the icon. Go and read chapter 2 of Acts, how eloquent the gospel is preached by Peter. And may God fill us with his Holy Spirit and enable us to become perfect and to be fulfilled in him, in his word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.